Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for seeing Tracy Tolry. Sorry for the delay. Thought the song was gonna play for the BIBLE, but since it didn't, gonna play it now. The BIBLE by Go Fish. Thanks for saying Truffy Tolry.
The BIBLE, that's the book for me. The BIBLE, that's the book for me.
everybody.
That was the song that was also by Go Fish, and that one is called Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And usually in Truth Be Told Radio, and I'm going to play for you next. This is a song by Shylin, and this one is called All Consuming Fire on Truth Be Told Radio.
The glory of God not honored, the holiness of God not reverenced, the greatness of God not admired, the power of God not praised, the truth of God not sought, the wisdom of God not esteemed, the beauty of God not treasured, the goodness of God not savored, the faithfulness of God not trusted, the commandments of God not obeyed, the justice of God not respected, the wrath of God not feared, the grace of God not cherished, the presence of God not prized, the person of God not loved. That is sin.
Massively and globally ordained. He died to make life is happily devoted to his fame. His rivals with their strategies, their prideful with their apathy, their idols and their blasphemies will only see the flames. Denial of his majesty is totally insane. The title of his masterpiece is holy as his name. Yes, he's gonna burn it away. The holy furnace will blaze. Eternal the day. Somebody come on.
Peace.
It's just a simple love story, y'all. So would you listen?
set was Guitar Boy 70 from YouTube singing How Great Thou Art. And that is the ukulele version. And next I am going to play, let's see if I have it ready. I'm going to play something. This is Joe MacArthur with his question and answer sessions, one of them. Thanks for listening. Truth Be Told, Radio.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. In Matthew 28, in the Great Commission Jesus gave to the church, he says, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." Now, John, some people see the Great Commission as a mandate for social work, and others take it as a call to political action. How should we make disciples of the nations?
Anybody who thinks that the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is a mandate for social work is not reading the text. There is no mandate for social work in the Great Commission. It says, essentially, to go and make disciples of all nations. And then it tells you how to do that. You do that by baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And baptism is the response, the public confession of someone who has embraced the gospel. You take the gospel, then there's a public confession. Baptism is an affirmation of that confession and the symbol of identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And then it says in that commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That means that following salvation is instruction for edification. This is all gospel ministry, and the promise follows that, "Lo, I'm with you always." If you want to do the Lord's work in the Lord's way and have the Lord involved in your work, then it is all gospel work. Doesn't mean you ignore poor people. But the Great Commission has nothing to do with feeding people, nothing to do with social work. It has everything to do with soul work, the proclamation of the gospel, leading people to salvation, and showing them the path of sanctification with the confidence that God is at work in that enterprise.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more information about John's New Testament commentaries, go to
Jesus Christ in his dying is the key to putting to death the deeds of the body. Our old self was crucified with him in order that something practical might flow from that glorious union with Christ in his dying. How do you get unified with Christ? Faith alone, apart from works of the law, unites you with Jesus so that he becomes your righteousness and your pardon and your death. So that something practical might succeed in your life, namely the putting to death of what is dead. That's Christianity.
Who can resurrect your soul? Man can't, but Christ will to conduct a heart transplant. I'm living proof of his spiritual maintenance. I'm now revering his patience, fearing his greatness. See, all believers have truly died ourselves, cause when Christ died, we were crucified as well. So our old body of sin can be done away with. What a great gift, he's begun the facelift. But just as Jesus rose from the dead, we too are in the newness of life in union with Christ. In the past, my master was sin, an attractor my skin, but I no longer have to give in. His word told me he changed me with his might, so I could be holy and blameless in his sight. I was first regarded as that church he pardoned, but I'm confident he'll finish the work he started modestly. In all honesty, Christ lived flawlessly. He's the motor, I'm his pottery. He set me apart from the sons of destruction. He's perfected my heart, it's under construction. Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Bless the Lord, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed.
by his sanctification. Christ doesn't just save us for forgiveness of sins. He takes us and shapes us into an image of him. Christ fulfilled the law when we were doomed with Satan, so believers get his righteousness from imputation. Now there's no condemnation for his consecrated. I know the process stated seems complicated, but it's the Holy Spirit's key medication. All by his washing and regeneration. He takes worms and maggots and turns their habits. I once cursed with madness, I now serve with gladness.
Come on.
Tell me, who else can take vessels of strife and then transform them into stencils of Christ?
Nobody.
Who else can take these random goons and then breathe life into abandoned tombs?
Yeah.
Christ came to die, his Christ claimed the sky. His grace will save, plus his might sanctifies. As his workmanship, my crew cares to please him. Do there's a reason, it's fruit-bearing season.
Okay.
We received the win, he gave his life for this. We've been freed from sin, but slaves of righteousness. Praise God if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Bless the Lord if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Bless the Lord if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification.
Yeah. Through faith, everything that happens to Christ happened to me. I'm happy to see his majesty adapting me gradually. I'm fabric keys, weaving me into his kingdom's tapestry. Imagine me spitting systematic theology practically. I'm asking the question that impacted me on a major level. How can a holy, righteous God save a rebel? The mystery is priceless. His decree is like this. Through Christ, he makes the wicked positionally righteous. No longer targets of his curses. He takes deceivers, makes them believers, and then sets them apart for his service.
Amen.
Not only just the reverence, we need to know this, brethren. The road that gets to heaven goes through Romans 6:11. Acknowledging as true what's already occurred. Christ died to send me to the Lord said in his word.
Right.
In Jesus we rest. We've been freed from the mess. By the Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the flesh.
Spirit.
I know my place. That's why I write my name in lowercase. The more I grow in his grace, the more he shows me his face.
Yes.
I thank him and praise him through his work, and I get to have this. My sanctification is more certain than death and taxes.
Yes.
Praise God if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle.
Yes.
Praise the Lord if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Bless the Lord if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle.
Woo.
Praise God if you're a saint that is saved, then we're being changed by his sanctification.
He bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
He bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
That was Timothy Brindle singing about sanctification. And before that, we had John MacArthur and him doing the Q&A. And also, of course, Guitar Boy sent me with How Great Thou Art, the ukulele version. And before that was Simple Love Story, and that was by Shannon. For Shailen and Timothy Brindle, if you want to find out more about them, go to lampmode.com, lampmode.com. That's their label. So check them out. Thanks. And like I said about Guitar Boy 70, that's his YouTube name. So to find his music on YouTube. And thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. We're going to play something again from John MacArthur, the Q&A. And here you go. Thanks for listening to me, Tori.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. In Matthew 28, in the Great Commission Jesus gave to the church, he says, "Go and make disciples of all the nations." Now, John, some people see the Great Commission as a mandate for social work, and others take it as a call to political action. How should we make disciples of the nations?
Anybody who thinks that the Great Commission in Matthew 28:19-20 is a mandate for social work is not reading the text. There is no mandate for social work in the Great Commission. It says, essentially, to go and make disciples of all nations, and then it tells you how to do that. You do that by baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And baptism is the response, the public confession of someone who has embraced the gospel. You take the gospel, then there's a public confession. Baptism is an affirmation of that confession, and the symbol of identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. And then it says in that commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That means that following salvation is instruction for edification. This is all gospel ministry. And the promise follows that, lo, I'm with you always. If you want to do the Lord's work in the Lord's way and have the Lord involved in your work, then it is all gospel work. Doesn't mean you ignore poor people, but the Great Commission has nothing to do with feeding people, nothing to do with social work. It has everything to do with soul work, the proclamation of the gospel, leading people to salvation, and showing them the path of sanctification with the confidence that God is at work in that enterprise.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more information about John's New Testament commentaries, go to
Timothy Rendell, and he was singing about the song that is called see. That one was called The Faithfulness of Christ. And thanks for listening to Be Told Radio. Next, we're going to play another one from Q&A from John MacArthur on Truth Be Told Radio.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Today's question comes from 2 John, verse 10. It says, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting." Well, John, could he be talking about the cults that come to your front door? Would that mean we shouldn't be hospitable to people in other religions?
Well, Denny, in ancient times, teachers traveled around with whatever it was that they were trying to impart, and they were dependent upon staying in the homes of people. We remember this from our Lord sending out the 12 and later on the 70 and telling them, you know, how to respond to the people who invited them to their homes, check and see if it's worthy and stay there. And once you go there, stay there. Don't go somewhere else. Don't try to move up the socioeconomic ladder as long as you're in this town or whatever. So that was a very common thing for traveling teachers to stay in homes. And what the Apostle John is saying here is that when a teacher shows up and wants hospitality from you, and he misrepresents Christ, has an aberrant view of Jesus Christ, certainly all the cults do, you do not open your home to him. That doesn't mean you don't witness to somebody in the cults. That doesn't mean you don't witness to somebody in a different religion. You don't sit down with them and try to explain. You just don't open your home to them. You don't provide a haven for them. You don't provide hospitality for them. To borrow the language from Psalm 1, you don't sit down with scoffers. That's dangerous stuff. So this is for protection, and this is to shut out false teachers and false cult purveyors from having influence, of course, on God's people.
You're listening to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. If you'd like more in-depth teaching from the book of 2 John, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Love. This is the all-sufficiency of Christ in the gospel of grace, to restore ruined sinners to himself for their joy in his glory. Check it out now. I'm asked by my peers, hey, where have you been the last 5 years? I stayed buried in sin. I thought I was righteous, but that's a mirage. So God snatched off my mask and facade, exposing the true me. When you, the Holy One, showed me what you see, I was loathing this loose scene, but it was only so you could show me your beauty. The beauty of your deep compassion for needy cats who are steeped in mad sin. But because of Jesus bleeding, gasping, now before God my sin's completely absent. Cause on the cross it was like my hell. So now my righteousness is Christ himself. Because of the blood spill, your mountain of grace done smothered my dumbbell.
So what did God use to restore me? Why it was the truth of him glory. Standing in the Son of God and at the PFO. Most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace. So what did God use to restore me? Why it was the truth of him glory. Standing in the Son of God and at the PFO. Most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace.
So you convinced that you're ruined, and the proof is the bad fruit of the sin that you're brewing. Sick of the emptiness you're pursuing, so what can fix the brokenness of a human? Our help is not in 12 steps, or in books on the shelf that sells best. Like health and wealth mess that compels self-flesh. Cause with self-help, guess what, you're helpless. Cause in self is indwelt death, so it's not an attempt to keep self-well kept. Only Jesus Christ himself can save us from ourselves and hell's depths. So what's the remedy for your sinning? Is it in performance-driven moralism?
Nope.
It's only falling on the Lord who's risen, whose infinite grace is of course sufficient to be reborn, forgiven, and adorned with wisdom, and freed from your morbid porno prison, and equipped for his mission. Only beholding his glory can transform a Christian.
So what did God use to restore me? Why it was the truth of him glory. Standing in the Son of God and at the PFO. Most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace. So what did God use to restore me? Why it was the truth of him glory. Standing in the Son of God and at the PFO. Most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace.
So name your need, he knows your strength is weak. The unchanging grace of the Savior's deep. In Christ Jesus every saint's complete. So come by faith to our faithful priest.
What is faith?
It's just an empty hand that receives the grace of the precious Lamb, namely God the Son crushed as your payment. His perfect life is our justification. So the gospel's not just for unbelievers. Every day we should trust and run to Jesus. Confess and plead, we're wretched seed, but his once for all death perfected me. So when you come to the Son, behold us, the riches of God in abundant fullness. When you come to his blood, your soul gets peace with God, abundant love and wholeness. I'm now making the argument, the most far-gone sinner who's dark and grim can be restored by Christ who pardoned him. Cause Christ's abounding grace is larger than your heart of sin that's hard within, or all who his irresistible grace is targeting. Cause the gospel of Christ is the power of God of salvation from start to end.
Listen! So what did God use to restore me? Why it was the truth of him glory. Shining in the Son of God and at the PFO. Most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace. So what did God use to restore me? Why it was the truth of him glory. Shining in the Son of God and at the PFO. Most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace. Follow me now, listen me now, follow me now, see. As sufficient be at the Almighty. That's right. Lambo, you know who it is. The Messiah, he's all sufficient, y'all, and it don't stop.
That was Timothy Brindle singing The All Sufficiency of Christ. And before that, we had Go Fish singing Love Like This. And now we're going to have another one from John MacArthur.
Welcome to another edition of Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. Well, imagine being part of the massive crowd following Jesus every day, hearing him teach, watching him heal, considering becoming his disciple. Then one day, Jesus tells you and those with you, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." John, those are serious words. And the question is, what was Jesus getting at when he told the crowd they needed to hate their families?
Well, we want to understand that that's the word hate in terms of contrast. A similar statement in Matthew 10:37 is the key to understanding this difficult contrast. The hatred called for here is actually a lesser love. Jesus was calling his disciples to cultivate such total devotion to him, such total commitment to him, that their attachment to everything else, including their families, and he even said to hate their own life, would seem like hatred by comparison. In other words, our Lord is saying, your family may keep you from coming to me, because if you come to me, you're going to be alienated from them. Your possessions may keep you from coming to me, because in coming to me and following me, you may forfeit your possessions. You may forfeit your place in life. You may be persecuted and lose your life. And he was forcing the issue of how important is it for you to receive the salvation that I offer? Is it more important than any possession, any prestige, any relationship you possess? And he still calls for the same total commitment at any price.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. If you have a question for John, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com. This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, author of the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. This is Denny Nugent with today's question. It comes from Matthew 19:27, where the Apostle Peter asked Jesus this bold question, quote, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" Well, at first glance, Peter's question seems selfish, almost like he's saying, what's in it for me? Yet Jesus doesn't rebuke Peter. John, why do you think that is?
I think we have to admit, Denny, that it was a bit of a selfish question, and it does indicate that in the beginning, the disciples had some pretty earthly goals in mind when they were following Jesus. And it wasn't that they didn't care about their souls. It wasn't that they didn't care about heaven. It wasn't that they weren't welcoming the forgiveness of sin and the promise of being a part of his kingdom. They were. But hey, they were human. And you do remember that James and John had their mother go to Jesus and ask if they could sit on his right and left hand in his earthly kingdom. They were looking for that. I mean, it was part of what they expected. They wanted to know what is in it for us. In other words, were there any temporal blessings? Will we be a part of the expected kingdom? Jesus didn't rebuke them because he does promise an earthly kingdom to his people, and someday it will come. It is even called the regeneration. This is a reference to the earthly kingdom described in Revelation chapter 20, where believers will be with Christ in this earth on his throne, and the apostles themselves will reign over the tribes of Israel. That will come to pass in the future.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more teaching from the Gospel of Matthew, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
The fact that most of the state The stress is weighing on his mind so heavy. He cries out, Jesus, if you're real, I'm ready.
Where there lived no man or woman. In fact, lo and behold, the oldest person person there was only 12 years old, because all the grown-ups had washed away in a flood. One town in particular there was called Mud, because every sister, cousin, and brother, from head to toe in mud, they were covered. But anyway, in this town called Mud, there lived a little girl named Penelope Judd. Now Penelope was a very sad, sad girl, because she was living in a bad, bad world, where kids teased each other and acted really mean. They lied, cheated, and stole, and their speech was obscene. With no grown-ups around, nobody was really wise, so every kid did what was right in their own eyes. Penelope would cry, like every single day. No matter what she did, the tears wouldn't go away. But deep down in her heart, she hoped it would get better, because of what her grandpa had written in a letter. He said,
"Penelope, it's great news that I bring. On the mountaintop, there lives a great king. The king has a son, and being a proud father, he's going to throw the prince a huge party in his honor. But the good part, and I hope it gets you excited, Penelope Judd, you're officially invited. He's sending a dog. He'll tell you all you need to know. Just have your bags packed and be ready to go."
It had been such a long time Penelope was waiting. She wondered if the letter was true or just faking. But one day she was playing outside, and to a great surprise, the dove had arrived. He said,
"Off we go with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king. We're on our way, and all the old things gonna pass away.
Your turn." The dove told her that he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, "Okay, I'll be right back." Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
"Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way."
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove, just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way, but then she got sad because part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, "Why would I want to stay? Because all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm going to see the king." It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
"Off I go with no delay, and ain't nobody going to make me stay. I'm going to see the king. I'm on my way, and all the old things going to pass away."
Your turn. Walking for a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
"Keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide."
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
"Farewell, see you inside."
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
"Can I help you, ma'am?"
"Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation."
He said,
"I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor."
She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The palace was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
"I'm sorry, little friend, but
a voice inside the party said,
you can let her in."
The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
"There's room for one more."
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. "Where'd you get it?" she asked. He said,
"Actually, it's mine."
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
"Long ago, laid aside my crown. There came a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around. But those who love me get to share my crown."
Your turn.
"Long ago, laid aside his crown. There came a mud kid, traveled to our town.
Yeah.
was Penelope Judd by Shannon. And before we had also had the song called Alone by Shannon. Thanks for listening to Be Told Radio. I want to remind you that you could check out our website at truthbetoldradio.com and truthbetoldradio.com. And also on Twitter, our name on there is Truth, the letter B, Told Radio. So it's Truth, Be Told Radio, but it's the letter B instead of B-E. And also on Facebook, we have a page. And my personal website is smilesandstuff.com. Smiles and Stuff, SmilesandStuff.com. And I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. And you can find me on Facebook too. Also, the name I use on their word of profile is Smiley Smiles. So it's SmileySmiles. And also the information is on our website, truthbetoldradio.com, like I said, mentioned before. And let's see, next song I'm going to do for you, let's see if it's ready in the place of the another Q&A from John MacArthur. Here it is on Truth Be Told Radio.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. We'll read through the Gospels, and you won't have any trouble finding conflict. The religious leaders of Jesus' day constantly challenged him. In John chapter 8, it records one of the more heated exchanges between Jesus and the Jewish leaders. They wanted to stone him because he said, quote, "Before Abraham was, I am." John, why did that particular phrase anger the Jews so much?
Because he was making himself equal with God. The name of God is I Am. You go back to Exodus 3, Deuteronomy 32, Isaiah 41, Isaiah 43, and God declares himself to be the I Am. That's the verb to be in the eternally present sense. That is the name of God. And by the way, Jesus loved to refer to himself with that name. He said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine. I am the light of the world. He was declaring himself to be the God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, Adonai. That is what infuriated them, because to the Jews, that was the ultimate blasphemy. It'd be one thing to curse God. It would be one thing to deny God. That would be blasphemy. It would be one thing to say things about God which demeaned him and lacked reverence. But to say, I am God, is the ultimate blasphemy in their minds. It wasn't, however, because he was.
All right, thanks, John. And thanks to you for listening today to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more in-depth teaching from the Gospel of John, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Do the bop. your mom and pop, so do the Bible book, Bible book. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. We made it through the old, now let's move on to the new and see what we can find. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and Corinthians.
1 and 2.
Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians.
1 and 2.
1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Hebrew, James, 1 and 2 Peter, and John.
1, 2, 3. And don't forget to
do the Bible book.
Picasso is dead.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin are dead.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe is dead. However, Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
Brando is dead. James Brown is dead.
Yeah.
Princess Di and John Lennon are dead.
Yeah.
Biggie Smalls and Pac are dead. However, Jesus is alive.
Give praise to King Jesus, the blessed Son, victorious, glorious, resurrected one. To him belongs the power, glory, and honor. Ascended where he sits at the right hand of the Father. At the cross he made atonement, his people he saved. After 3 days he was raised in defeat of the grave. By faith the elect behold him, his scepter is golden. He must have been hot and slippery, cause death couldn't hold him. The spotlight is on today's icons. In 1,000 years nobody'll care, their light's gone. But at that time Christ will still shine bright. He's not in the limelight, he is the limelight. Criminal minded, you've been blinded. Looking for the body of Jesus, you won't find it. We never lack spirit, letting you cast hear it, cause it's tomb is empty like most secular rap lyrics.
Plato is dead, Socrates is dead,
yeah.
Aristotle and Immanuel Kant are dead,
yeah.
Nietzsche and Darwin are dead. However, Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
Buddha is dead, Muhammad is dead,
yeah.
Gandhi and Haile Selassie are dead,
yeah.
Elijah Muhammad is dead. However, Jesus is alive.
Yeah. Throughout history, there's been mad religious leaders, prophets, preachers, scholars, teachers. But when it came to the grave, no one could climb out. That's where Jesus stands alone, like taking a time out. And don't be misled, I got a level head. No resurrection, Christianity would've never spread. The disciples weren't stupid guys who would ruin their lives and then choose to die for what they knew was a lie. That would be beyond ridiculous. Not an issue is the risen Christ seen by 500 eyewitnesses. Imagine 500 people in a court of law, each of them taking a stand reporting what they saw. If their stories lined up and made sense, the evidence would have to leave you convinced, no doubt. But still it's by faith that we trust and praise the Son who was raised for our justification. Check it out.
Nero is dead, Constantine is dead,
yeah.
Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun are dead,
yeah.
Alexander the Great is dead. However,
Jesus is alive,
yeah. Yeah. Napoleon is dead, Lao Tzu is dead,
yeah.
Che Guevara and Henry the Eighth are dead.
What?
Saddam Hussein is dead. However,
Jesus is alive.
Through faith in Christ, we've been saved from hell. Because he's risen, it means we'll be raised as well. and glorified bodies fit for the new earth. For now, we participate in the new birth, the universal reality of the true church. With resurrection power, watch the spirit do work. United with Christ, we reside in his light, abide in his might, keeping stride as we fight the pride in our life, the lies and the spite. We strive to be wise as he guides through the night. He'll try and he'll slice, recognize that he's right. His brightness inside lights our eyes, and it's tight, decided to die to wash white all our strife. His life was the price to the light in his wife. He told death strike just to rise like a kite. All eyes on the Christ, let's prize him tonight.
Pharaoh is dead, Cyrus is dead, Darius and Sennacherib are dead, Nebuchadnezzar is dead, however
Jesus is alive.
Caesar is dead, Herod is dead, Annas, Caiaphas and Judas are dead, Pontius Pilate is dead, however
Jesus is alive.
Yeah, he's alive, y'all. He's alive, y'all. What? He's alive, y'all. Yeah. He's alive, y'all. All praise to the risen one, the Lord Jesus. What? Yeah.
Jesus is Alive, and that was by Shylin. Thanks for listening to Tippico Radio. And next, what we got for you, this is a little bit called Which Jesus, and it's presented from Way Back on Tippico Radio.
I, as a Baha'i, I believe in Jesus Christ. And I would say I have never believed in Jesus Christ as much as I have since I'm a Baha'i.
Oliver says he believes in Jesus Christ, yet he isn't a Christian. How can this be? The problem is that our friend Oliver has a different Jesus. He's not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. It's kind of like this. If a stranger approaches you and says they know your buddy John, but all their facts about John are wrong, you could safely conclude that they're referring to a different John. Now, with that in mind, there are many religions that claim they know and believe in Jesus. But that doesn't mean they're referring to the same Jesus of the Bible. For example, Mormonism believes that Jesus was the spirit brother of Lucifer. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was Michael the Archangel. That's not in the Bible either. Muslims believe Jesus was just a prophet. That's definitely not what the Bible teaches. And Baha'i teaches Jesus was simply a messenger. Notice how none of these religions teach what the Bible says, that Jesus was God in human flesh. You see, the real Jesus sparked more controversy than any other religious leader in history. He made radical claims. He spoke not from, but with authority. And with that same authority, he forgave people of their sins. He healed without medicine. He fed thousands from one boy's lunch. And he calmed the raging sea. His claims? He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but through him. He claimed to be the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the true vine, and the resurrection and the life. And he was ultimately crucified because he claimed to be God. He was able to conquer death by rising from the grave, just as he said he would. How is that? Because he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is God incarnate. So, if someone comes to you talking about Jesus, but he doesn't sound like he's talking about the Jesus of the Bible, it's probably because he isn't.
More about Way the Master at waythemaster.com, and also livingwaters.com is the ministry they're associated with also. and truth and truth and glory.
You know, times will get really hard when you decide to walk with the Lord. Now, many people get really angry at me. Why? Because I just have a piece, a bitty inch of faith. Let me tell you about a story that called my life. I was a Jew boy, and now I came to Christ. Many people thought that I'm a fool. They thought I betrayed them. Oh, how uncool. Whoa, they're wrong. I'm just the man after God's heart. If you know me, I'm just playing the part of that wandering Jew, maybe someone like you. If you open the book, then maybe, baby, then you will see how Jesus is for you like Jesus is for me.
Big move. For real.
that was Aviah Cohen and him singing Hooked on the Truth. And if you want to find out more about him, he's an ethnic Jew, but he is Christian and by religion, I guess you would say. And his website is hookedonthetruth.com, HOOKEDONTHETRUTH.com, hookedonthetruth.com. And you're to the mean Melissa Cantrola, your host on Truth Be Told Radio. And what I'm going to do for you now, I'm going to play, this is the song, that is also by Aviah Cohen, and this is called Reach Out to You. Thanks for listening, Truth Be Told Radio.
Everybody's got that day where they reach out to God.
Yeah.
And they say, God,
what's up?
I want to know you this time for real.
That's right.
Just know, when you do this, he's going to throw in a lifesaver. Yeshua, Jesus, Messiah.
Yeah.
And then his son will reach out to you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Here we go.
When you're moving fast forward in a world of change, and you can't catch up and you feel the same way I did, you reach out to you. If you lost your way, don't know where to turn, raise your hands in the air, ask for help the same way I did, you reach out to you. When your day turns into dark and your smile turns into fear, birthday wish and it didn't come out as you planned, to reach out to you. Did you run the race and you finished last? Did you come first place but it felt like last? That's when, to reach out to you. When your day turns into short and your smile turns into tears, but when the sun
and you
plan for you up in this world. You are the new breed. You're called to be a martyr. Don't compromise on the truth. Just be a fire starter.
They call me fire starter. I bring the holy heat. Don't need no pyrotechnics. Just need this Jesus beat. They know my holy father. His name is Yahweh. Refining me through the fire. I'm just his work of clay. I'm on a mighty mission. I'm here to testify. I was saved by the best. Now on a holy high. My savior's Yeshua, the world's Messiah. Ignite the youth with the truth, yeah. Now they're on fire.
What's your name, boy? What's your name, girl? Did you know God has a plan for you up in this world? You are the new breed. You're called to be a martyr. Don't compromise on the truth. Just be a fire starter.
This ain't no candy land. A fallen world it is. We need a savior to save us from the sins we did. It only takes a seeker to find out what's in store. So grab your faith and your Bible, knock on God's door. He gave you something special, a gift to share today. So glorify your maker in your own special way. Bench warmers not needed. We got no time for games. Since you got something to give, just step up to the plate.
What's your name, boy? What's your name, girl? Did you know God has a plan for you up in this world? You are the new breed. You're called to be a martyr. Don't compromise on the truth. Just be a fire starter.
They call me extreme. I don't play by their rules. Cause I am finding new ways to bring God back to schools. The kids, they all on it. They know I ain't shade. I ain't no clown in a suit. Just here to get paid. They got their armor on, made by Ephesians 6. Sharing God with their crew, their sleeves don't hold no tricks. The time is running out, the blind are everywhere. So shine His light in their face and show that you really care.
What's your name, boy? What's your name, girl? Did you know God has a plan for you up in this world? You are the new breed. You're called to be a martyr. Don't compromise on the truth. Just be a fire starter.
What about you? Are you on fire? You want to share the truth?
Come on. From the salt to the flame, to the blaze that burns the pressure, kind of glory. Go ahead, speak the truth. Go ahead, be the proof of walking testimony. That God is real, that Christ is healing. He is coming back. Gotta be radical, gotta be fanatical. Cause here go all the facts. Without Christ, I am being resurrected. We'd all be damned to hell. Evil and sinners by nature, but God, He pays the bill.
What's your name, boy? What's your name, girl? Did you know God has a plan for you up in this world? You are the new breed. You're called to be a martyr. Don't compromise on the truth. Just be a fire starter.
Be the fire to inspire change.
That was Avia Cohen featuring Mahogany Jones, and that was a song called Firestarter. And next you're gonna play another one by Avia Cohen, and this one's called Lonely Hearts on Tribute Total Radio.
Thank you.
that was Avia Cohen singing Lonely Heart Song. And if you want to check out any of his music, remember to go to HookedOnTheTruth.com, HookedOnTheTruth.com. And you'll see me, Melissa Cantrillo, your host. And we're about 20 minutes left in the show. Right now, I'm going to play a song for you. This one is called The Cross, The Atonement by Shylin.
The cross, so what I need is, I need you to come with me. Cause we're going to do some time travel. We're going to travel back about 2,000 years to the most significant event in the history of the universe. You ready? Alright, let's go. Yeah. There's something you gotta see. Journey with me. It's approximately 30 AD in the land of Israel, the city of Jerusalem. But on the outside, it screams in loud cries. Whose face is seen can be seen without eyes. The mean shout lies and seems to sound wise as we inch through the crowd. We need to be cautious. A Roman execution meant on three courses. But all the focus is on the one in the center. The gate closes behind you. No one can enter. The sight you behold is so odd to stun. The man hanging on the cross is God the Son.
12 noon is pitch black.
Cause the sun shines blackened. Your mind can't fathom this divine transaction. As slowly the sound becomes mostly drowned, you realize that you're standing on holy ground.
So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell. So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell. So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell. So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell.
That you're controlling at the cross. You see how you feel about sin at the cross. Your unfathomable love for men at the cross. It's where we see your sovereignty at the cross. We see our idolatry at the cross. We know that there's a judgment day from the cross. May we never take our eyes away from the cross.
We're now in the realm of the sublime and profound. With God at the helm, it's about to go down. The Father's wrath precise will blast and slice the priceless master Christ as a sacrifice. Willingly, he's under the curse to be treated as if the son was the worst scum of the earth. The scene is the craziest. Jesus being treated as if he is the shadiest atheist. How is it the Messiah is in the fiery pit as if he was a wicked liar with twisted desires? The one who's sinless and just, punished as if he was promiscuous and mischievous with vicious lust. The source of all godly pleasure, tormented as if he was a foul investor or child molester. How could he be bruised like he was a goody two-shoes who doesn't think that she needs the good news? He's perfect in love and wisdom, but he's suffering as if he constructed the corrupt justice system. We should mourn at the backdrop. Jesus torn like he's on the corner with crack rock, with porn on his laptop. What is this kid? His gifts are infinite, but he's hit with licks for religious hypocrites. He's the life, but being treated like he's the seedy type who likes to beat his wife. He's treated like a rapist, treated like a slanderer, treated like a racist, or maybe a philanderer. Jesus being penalized like he had sin inside, filled with inner pride while committing genocide. I could fight for a billion years and still can't name all of the sins placed on the lamb slain. But know this, the main thing the cross demonstrated, the glory and the holiness of God vindicated.
So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell. So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell. So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell. So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell.
Holiness at the cross. You see that you're controlling at the cross. You see how you feel about sin at the cross. Your unfathomable love for men at the cross. It's where we see your sovereignty at the cross. We see our idolatry at the cross. We know that there's a judgment day from the cross. May we never take our eyes away from the cross.
Thank you.
Shout out to all my sisters pursuing biblical womanhood. Let's go.
You run it hard for the king.
I know that's right.
If Jesus, you're everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you going to do?
Work it out.
You run it hard for the king.
I know that's right.
If Jesus, you're everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you going to do?
Work it out.
Yeah, she's not your typical girl.
Nope.
16 years old, and she said to the world, faith by her lifestyle demonstrated, because the gospel penetrated, and now she's regenerated.
No doubt.
Her master is greater than fashions and flavor. She patterns her behavior after the Savior. Back in the days, you would have seen her standing in the mirror. Yeah, her skin was clear, but her vanity was clearer. Now she's in the scriptures and wants to be like Hannah and Sarah rather than Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
Worldly girls imitate Missy Elliott, but she wants to be like Elizabeth Elliott. Not flexing the body, see, she dresses with modesty. She's not perfect.
Nope.
She confesses sin honestly.
Christ crucified.
That's a permanent shout. And by the grace of the Lord, yo, she's working it out.
You run it hard for the king.
I know that's right.
If Jesus, you're everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you going to do?
Work it out.
You run it hard for the king.
Normal wife.
Nope.
She's 24 and Christ is the Lord of her life.
Yeah.
Her walk is evidence that she trusts in God. And
still so good to be justified.
And no, she doesn't have a master's in divinity, but what she does have is a passion for the Trinity. When she recalls her previous prodigal season and how at times she could be the loudest of heathens, she praises God for making this former feminist submit to her husband for theological reasons.
Woo.
Worldly wise, watch over to learn to be a lady. But she's beating the writings of Carolyn Mahaney. And she would never disrespect her husband in public. And if she does it, she repents.
I love it.
That's a permanent shout. And by the grace of the Lord, yo, she's working it out.
You run it hard for the king.
I know that's right.
If Jesus, you're everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you going to do?
Work it out.
You run it hard for the king.
I know that's right.
If Jesus, you're everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you going to do?
She's not the usual mother, years old, and she's true to the lover of her soul. She beholds the cross when he copped it. Once was agnostic, now she's adopted. Her passion grows greater as she beholds him. Job title, homemaker, slash theologian.
Yeah.
Early in her walk, she would fight against his will then. The Lord used her marriage and the Bible to reveal sin. Now she fights to kill sin. And the greatest joy is serving her husband as she's discipling her children.
Right.
While worldly mothers stress shopping for the new style,
uh-huh.
She's pouring into younger women Titus 2 style.
Okay.
Teaching others how to rightly see brothers and be mothers, and most of all, better Jesus lovers.
Christ crucified.
That's a permanent shot, and by the grace of the Lord, yo, she's working it out.
You run it hard for the king.
I know that's right.
If Jesus, you're everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you going to do?
Work it out.
You run it hard for the king.
I know that's right.
If Jesus, you're everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you going to do?
Work it out.
You run it hard for the king.
Work It Out, and that was Shannon singing that. And you're listening to Tributal Radio, and next we are going to play Timothy, and him is singing a song called Fruit Inspection.
Yo, it's so strange. So many folks claim they're born again when their lives are showing no change. Listen while I'm spitting. If you go about your sinning without conviction, you should doubt your Christian. The devil tricks people that they're saved when they're sleeping in their graves. Though the evil, they're enslaved. So examine yourself. Are you in the faith, or are you just a slave to sin's glamour and wealth? Cause you seek finer things and seem fond of sin. But please read 1 John 3, 9 and 10. This is a warning, dog. It shows if you're a fraud and that this is impossible if you've been born of God. To live habitually sinful, at least hear it from Christ if you don't want to listen to Brindle. Please understand this. Jesus demands it. Those who really love him will keep his commandments. Killing sin is not a prescription of how to be forgiven. It's a description of the Christian who is forgiven by trusting in the risen Christ who took our wrath and affliction. Killing sin is not a prescription of how to be forgiven, but it's a description of the Christian who is forgiven. And the Spirit now convicts them to put off and kill their sick sin. I'ma make this as basic as can be. Let's say a saved saint is like a tree. Since their faith is in Christ, their roots in the soil, so they're saved for life and their fruit is in foil. So it makes sense that if their root is alive, the dead branches fall off, but their fruit's gonna thrive. But if there's no evidence of a changed life, since you claim Christ, so you're still dead in sin. So Jesus is Lord, your lips confess, but killing sin is that confession's litmus test. If perhaps the truth is that you're lacking proof, with absent proof, the axe is at the root. So let's be specific. You say,
but God knows my heart.
Yeah, he knows that it's desperately wicked. So you can repent and accept the truth too, or else when you meet Christ here,
I never knew you.
So let's start from the top. Your heart is a rock. You must trust Christ's death for your charges to drop. Now repent, pretenders, and present your members to him who does contenders like fender benders. I ain't saying that I'm flawless from sin. I'm saying when I fall, I go to the cross and repent. And just because we believe in eternal security don't mean we're not concerned with personal purity. Because those who've been elected, chosen, and predestined won't rest till the day our souls have been perfected. So we'll work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but give God the glory, knowing it's the Spirit's rendering.
So as they embrace and try to make haste, they have no idea what's about to take place. Gun in hand, he longs to understand what would lead his wife into the arms of another man. He thinks back to the day they made the vows, before God, before the minister in the crowd. Exchange of the rings, the joy of the reception, now a tainted memory destroyed by deception. He has been faithful to her, now the fire of his desire got him ready to do something hateful to her. He never thought his wife would be just a faker, and that her lust would make her a covenant breaker. The promise of fidelity they made was glorious, but now his jealousy has made him furious. And they can't see the danger those dreams of peace they make could ever ease the pain or appease his anger. He kicks open the door, they jump out of the bed.
Don't move
is all he said, gun pointed at his head. The screams of his wife as he clutches the covers close. Her lover spoke to plead for his life. The husband says to the guy, look me in my eye, my face will be the last thing you see before you die. The husband cried inside, his love was bona fide. Trouble for the bride, double homicide.
How quickly we are to break the vows we made, as our unbelief leads our hearts astray. How long before he tears his faith away?
The God of the Bible who invites our trust must be understood to be nothing like us. Most of the time, human jealousy will hurt you. But when it comes to God, his jealousy is a virtue. One of his awesome perfections, surely, thunders his law and protects his glory. He gave us the gift of the marriage relationship to acquaint us with the faint taste of this. A wife for a husband, a husband for wife. The only time jealousy is right in this life. But just as the distance is great between earth and stars, God's thoughts are much higher than ours. So his jealousy is on a whole other level, unintelligible to the soul of a rebel. But in sacred scripture, God paints the picture, the aim to shake your frame is straight conviction. And that's what it should do. God's jealousy is frightful, and yet it's delightful and good too. I couldn't think of much worse if I tried than a dude who smirks if you flirt with his bride. So tell me, what kind of God would he be if he wasn't bothered to see idolatry? Is God just supposed to laugh and withhold his wrath when he's replaced by a golden calf? You say, I don't worship a golden calf. Well, for us, it's self and sex and loads of cash. Atrocious past, we still don't know the half of how these things provoke his holy wrath. And so we stand in awe and wonder how come God took his jealous anger out on his son. So all those who trust him can see like we're supposed to see and be forgiven of our spiritual adultery.
How quickly we are to break the vows we made. As our unbelief leads our hearts astray, how long before he turns his face away?
Jealous Woman by Shailene, spelled S-H-A-I-L-I-N-N-E, and you can find out more about him at Shailene.com and also lampmode.com, L-A-M-P-M-O-D-E.com, and get his music. If you enjoy it, please support him and our other artists on Tribute Tour Radio. And next, what we're going to play is, you heard the Jealous One. This one is the Faithful God. And, oh, wait, no. We'll play that first and then Lord of Patience. Thanks for listening. Trippy Tory.
thanks for your grace and your favor. Your faithfulness we tasted and savored. Your love and care for us is most clear to us when we're beholding the face of the Savior. The human race as a whole was infected, but for those you have chosen, elected, you made a promise and it was accomplished when the chief cornerstone was rejected. We see him dying on the cross for our evil, when he appeared to be soft and feeble. In actuality, he holds the galaxies in his hands, he's exalted and regal. When we believe, you are faithful to save us, and that means you'll be faithful to change us. And the Spirit of Jesus will keep us till you make us holy and blameless. From the things you say, you don't budge. You're faithful to save and you're faithful to judge. The God who was just became one of us. The faithful God is the God we can trust. We can't trust us, on you we rely. Everything we need, Lord, you will supply. Even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. You cannot deny yourself.
After waiting with patience as we would run from you, you acted elevated our faith so that we would come to you. Your law exposed our sins so that we would know the danger and take refuge in the only Savior who's slow to anger. And as our teary eyes beheld the cross of our King, we understood the true meaning of long suffering. Who can record your graces, adored through scores of ages? Your reward is the nations, for you are the Lord of patience. So patient, Lord. The thing that is amazing to us is that you still continue to display your patience to us through all our stumbles and falls and our idolatry, through all our grumbling and all of our hypocrisy, our self-righteousness with brothers and sisters, we're hostile, our unforgiveness, all because we're just missing the gospel. We should be slow to anger, but your word was slow to hear it. Oh Father, help us please, we truly need your Holy Spirit. He is the only person who can shape this fruit within us. We praise the risen Savior who is able to present us without an ounce of blame, with zero doubt or shame. Lord Jesus, down you came from heaven to announce your reign in the hearts of your people, and now we have the truth and gladly choose to praise you for all of your attributes. Who can record your graces, adored through scores of ages? Your reward is the nations, for you are the Lord of patience.
Lord of patience.
Lord of patience.
A sovereign God you are, the Lord of patience.
That's all we have for our show, except for at the end, we are playing As We Went Out, We'll Go Out As We Came In with the VIVLE by Go Fish. Thanks for listening. Trippy Total Radio. Bye for now.
The VIVLE, that's the book for me. The VIVLE, that's the book for me.